Welcome to Crossroads, a podcast that explores the intersection of faith and Christian living. Crossroads is part of the media ministry at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Get to know us by visiting us online at fapc.org.
Hi, I'm Jamie Staley, and I'm the Director of Christian Education here at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. Welcome to Crossroads Podcast. I am really excited this month to be talking to Reverend Shannon Carafonda, who is the lead pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Cartersville, Georgia, and also a professional holy mischief maker. Reverend Carafonda and I met last year at the Association of Partners in Christian Education, where she came and did a wonderful spirituality center for us based around this idea of holy mischief. And it was the first time I had heard this phrase, but was just so excited to hear from her and be able to experience what she sees as holy mischief. So welcome, Shannon. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this conversation.
So my guess is that most people at home have not heard of holy mischief. And you describe yourself as this professional holy mischief maker who helps others engage in the mysterious disruption of love in action. Can you share with us a little bit about what that means to you and how did it come to shape your ministry?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's been a long journey to really kind of define what that is and how it evolved over time. It started when I was appointed to help someone launch a brand new church in the Fayette County area of Georgia, so just south of the Atlanta area. And he wanted this church to be centered around what was called at the time servant evangelism or acts of kindness. He had read a book that really talked about people going out and doing acts of kindness in the community, not in order to get people to come to church, but just because the grace of God is available to everyone. And it was a way to embody that. And I discovered during that time that that was really like, it was the secret sauce of life. Like this guy had it figured out. This is really what we're meant to do, to be kind. And this is how we love one another, is by acts of kindness. And so we would go out and give out water on a hot day. And you can imagine in Georgia in the summer, there's plenty of times when that is really, really welcome. We, during one of the times, there had been some issue with gas prices and they skyrocketed. So we went to the gas station and bought the first $20 of gas for people. And what was interesting is we discovered that not everyone wants your kindness. Like they feel their strings attached and they've been burned too much, yeah, that they don't really want it. So we did all sorts of things like that. And after a few months, he said, I've got it. I've got what we need to call this. And I said, what is it? And he said, we're going to call them A-OK projects. Because when you do an act of kindness, A-OK, everything is A-OK. And I said, that is the cheesiest thing I have ever heard in my life. And he said, yeah, but I like it. And I said, you know what? I do love cheese. There's no problem with that. I'd been working there for about a year. We were just about to do like our public launch of worship services. And Alan died 1 week before that. Mm. And the community, we were devastated because you have a launch team for a church that you meet for about a year and a half. You meet in small groups. You start to embody the message of that church and you become really, really close to these people. And we were just devastated. I felt like I'd lost my best friend because I had spoken to him almost every day for at least 6 months, if not longer. And what we found was that one of the ways we got over our grief was through A-OK projects. Hmm. We just picked those up and said, you know what? We're hurting, but that doesn't mean everyone else in the world needs to hurt. Like, we can help others. And when we helped others, we noticed that it made us feel better. Fast forward several years, I'm appointed to different churches and people started seeing these acts of kindness. And one person in the United Methodist Church, we have an annual conference. Mm-hmm. One person in that geographical area said, hey, I'm trying to get the mischief makers of the conference together. I want to do a conference about missions or ministry or something. Like, and I thought about you, and I heard Holy Mischief Makers. Mm. I don't know why I heard that. He swears to this day he did not use that term, but that's what I heard. And I started using Holy Mischief as a hashtag. We just started using Facebook quite a bit for ministry. And I would use the hashtag whenever someone did an act of kindness for me, or I witnessed one in the world, or like my church did one. I would put hashtag Holy Mischief. And people started it. It's a phrase that's just, it's catchy. Like, people want to know more. They are intrigued by it because there's a cognitive dissonance. There's holiness and there's mischief, and it doesn't sound like it goes together, but we kind of want it to go together. We want mischievousness to be a part of something holy. And it just took off. And after a while, I became known for it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take this one step further. I want to start a movement of Holy Mischief. And from there, it's sort of just taken off and taken a life of its own. And I've had other churches become a part of it.
Oh, that is so cool. You talk about it being a disruption of love in action. And disruption sounds like it's an unsettling word. We don't often use disruption as like a good thing. But when you pair it with love, it feels hopeful and creative. How have you seen this love in action reshaping everyday encounters?
When I'm thinking about Holy Mischief, I think about it as breaking the pattern of someone's day. Mm-hmm. Like, we are in these patterns of negativity, of divisiveness in the world. And often we feel that in order to break through that, we need to be louder, or we need to be faster, or we need to be some other superlative. And sometimes the thing that breaks through is actually love. It's actually something that you don't see in the middle of all of that. And it disrupts our day because it's not part of the norm. I used to think, well, we're just so busy. We've got our head down. We're doing the same thing over and over again. And I want love to be a disruption to that. But I was recently told by someone who's on our staff, he said, well, love itself is the disruption because it's not the norm. Yeah. And I'm like, no, love is the norm. God wanted us to love. God created us to love. Love is the norm. And he's like, but it's not. We want it to be the norm, but it's not. It in itself is the disruption because it's not the status quo. As much as you want it to be the status quo, it's not. And the more we disrupt the status quo with love, the more it could possibly become the status quo, but it's not that right now. And when I started looking at it that way, I thought, you know, he's right. It's not. I want to see the good in everyone, and I really try to see the good, but it's not the status quo. And being able to show someone that they are loved beyond measure by a small act of kindness is exponentially effective, and it's amazing to see it at work in action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned that there's a lot of divisiveness, and I think folks are tired and weary of things in the world and the way things in the world look, particularly right now. And you talk about Holy Mischief as a means of grace. Mm-hmm. Where do you see, how does it invite us to see one another differently and help us to bridge with one another?
So I want to be careful about choosing my words.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Because I'm in a congregation that is diverse in thought as well as other things. Mm-hmm. And so we've got people who feel the divisiveness, but don't always realize that they may be contributing to the divisiveness, who are on a variety of parts of the political spectrum. I'm trying to not use sides anymore. Because I do think there is a spectrum. There are multi sides to everything in life. And one of the things we've lost in the divisiveness is the nuance and the dance of life. But holy mischief most of the time is a way for all of God's people to come together, because we can agree that love is important and sharing kindness is important and that people matter. Now, I'm mindful of the fact that it's not always accepted. There are some people who they don't want you to pay for their gas. They don't want your interference. I don't need you in my life. Please mind your own business. Thank you very much. But as believers, we're called to sow seeds. It's not always going to fall on the right kind of soil. But if you keep scattering the seeds, eventually it will take root in the right kind of soil. And our job is just to continue that process of scattering the seeds. What I have found that for me, that process of sowing the seeds is transformational for me as well. No matter what the outcome is, it is a way for me to encounter God, because I am embodying the message of Christ. I am loving my neighbor, not because they deserve it or they've earned it or they did anything, just because they are in my path at the moment. And whoever is in my path is my neighbor. And with a world that has gotten larger and more connected over the years, that's the whole world. We have really reached the ends of the earth at this point. And there's no place in the world where God's love does not touch. And therefore, I shouldn't try to reach other people as well through whatever means are necessary. And I believe it also changes how our practice of holy mischief changes how we think, how we live, and how we love. I was recently in a program where I got to travel to Greensboro, North Carolina, and we stayed at this really nice hotel. And in the hotel room, they had a separate shower and tub. So this is a very large hotel room, right? This is like, this bathroom's larger than my bathroom at home. It's got a shower that's really big, and then this tub. And I don't know about you, I've never thought to take a bath in a hotel.
Not me.
Like, I don't know who's been in there. I don't know how they clean it. Like, it's not appealing. But this hotel put one of those, like, the shelves that you can put over the bath so you can prop up your phone or your book.
Yeah.
They put one of those, and they put both a book holder and a phone holder. Okay, that's an extra touch. That's going the extra mile. They also put a rubber ducky on the shelf. All we could talk about for at least the first 2 days was the rubber. Did you see the rubber ducky? Or are you going to take a bath? I'm thinking about taking a bath. There's a rubber ducky. They also sold bath salts and bath bombs in the hotel lobby. I would say 80% of us took a bath during that week we were at that conference because of a rubber duck. That one small thing called me to act differently. I changed my pattern. I don't take baths at hotels. That's not a thing but I did at that hotel, because it was something playful. It disrupted the pattern of my brain. I'm like, I'm in a hotel. I don't expect to see a rubber duck. And I acted differently. When you do an act of holy mischief, you're usually doing something that's creative or whimsical or outside of the box. You're going to sticky note someone's office door with wonderful, positive words of affirmation. You're going to make cookies for your neighbor when you don't normally make cookies. It's something that's just a little different for you. It's something that makes someone go, wait, did they just do that? They don't normally do that. And it will cause you to start to think differently. So instead of looking at the world and seeing the divisiveness, you're now looking at the world looking for positivity and looking for holy mischief.
I love that.
I don't know if I answered your means of grace question, but I guess the short answer is I experience God every time that happens. And it surprises even me, even though I'm planning to do it, every time that I see this encounter and I'm like, look at God. There still are good things that happen in the world.
Yeah. I love that not only are you changing someone else's day and making them feel this positive holy mischief, but it changes your day and your outlook, and it kind of gives you a different perspective.
And what's more, people that hear the stories, it changes their day as well. It changes the chemicals in your brain and the hormones that are flooding your system, lowers your blood pressure. Like, there's all of these benefits to kindness that people don't talk about. And it helps you, it helps the person receiving and the people that either witness or they hear the story later. The kindness and the positivity that happens from it continues on even after the act of kindness has been done. Hmm.
Can you share with us a story, either something you've done or something that's been done that you know about, of holy mischief, you know, where a small act of love either created connection or transformation?
Yeah. So I think I said, you know, that I wanted to start this movement of holy mischief. I wasn't really, first of all, I didn't want to start a movement because that sounded like a cult. And I was like, no, that's a hard pass. I'm not into cults. And then I realized that, you know, at the very beginning of Christianity, it was the Jesus movement. It was the, you know, followers of the way. And I thought, okay, if it's not pointed at me, we're good, right? Okay, let's see what we're going to do. So during Lent of 2020, I had 40 days of kindness, all different types of acts of holy mischief to do. Some were easy, some were hard. Fast for a day, for some people, that's really hard. And then some were, you know, write a handwritten note to someone. Great. You know, that might be easy for some, hard for others. There's a whole variety of things. I got other churches involved. Hey, would you like to do this as your Lenten spiritual practice? Yeah, that sounds great. So I sent like a little church starter kit, which was the most fun thing to put together because it had, here's the devotional book with the different scriptures for the 40 days and the acts to do. And I had like, you know, some confetti in there and some like party paraphernalia, just fun stuff, just fun stuff. Sent those off. I had Holy Mischief t-shirts for the pastor, sent those off. And I said, you know, we need to connect because I'm not really sure that we can really inspire each other if we're not connected somehow. Let's create a Facebook group of Holy Mischief Makers that are in this for the 40 days. We had, you know, a couple hundred. Six churches. It was a good start. Well, we all know in 2020, March 13th was the shutdown day, and that was like right in the middle of Lent. And I thought, wow, that was kind of nice. I guess, you know, that's over. Not really thinking, when people are sequestered and secluded, they want to have connection. And so they doubled down not only on social media, but also on doing acts of kindness that they could do at a distance. And so with just a couple of tweaks to the 40 days, we were still good to go. And I thought, you know, when this goes beyond this Facebook group, I'll know that it's moved more toward a movement and less of a program and less of just a, you know, a ministry for 2020. So it'd been a couple of days into the shutdown, and I see on a completely different Facebook group that's like a community neighborhood sort of Facebook group, someone had taken they'd made some signs that said, you are loved, you are worthy, you know, keep going, you've got this. And they had affixed them to the trees that were along the walking path that people could still go walk. And there was a little at the bottom of one of them just said, Holy Mischief. And I thought, okay, it's getting out there. Then a few weeks later, I get a private message in Facebook from someone I don't know. And they said, you know, last week I was out at the park and I lost my baby carrier that, you know, one of those like front backpacks where you can carry your baby. I have a third child that is a baby that I'm using that carrier with, and my other two children are toddlers. And so it's a lifesaver to be able to like have my hands free, especially when I'm at the playground. And so I posted something on my neighborhood group about how I'd lost it. And it was a baby Bajoran one, which is a little more pricey, right? And she's like, I was in tears. My husband had lost his job. I didn't think I could afford a new one. And someone mailed one to me. And I don't know who it was, but they said, I'm in this group called Holy Mischief. And I just wanted you to have it because I know that it's something that you needed. And she said, it arrived at the moment when I had lost faith in humanity. And I was questioning if there was a God. And when I received that in the mail, my faith was restored. I found this Facebook group and I just wanted to thank you. And I've told that story multiple times. And every time I tell that story, people go, wow, like that is such a small but kind gesture. And for that to happen in the middle of all of the anxiety that was going on during that time, it's just a beautiful story that, you know, there's still goodness out there.
Yeah, yeah. So one of our pastors, Reverend Natalie Owens Pike, is our minister for our digital ministry, and she asks for folks from our hybrid community to send in reflections. And this past week, she got a reflection from one of our hybrid members that had a picture attached, and it was of the sidewalk in front of their home, and it had chalk writing, mm-hmm. and it's leading up to it on the sides. It said, be prepared to dance. I think that's maybe what it said. And then in the center, it said dance zone. And so they were inviting people who were walking down the street to spend this like 10 or 20 feet just dancing, which we were just chatting earlier. And I was explaining a little bit about Holy Mischief. And she was like, oh, that sounds so much like this dance zone, just giving people this space in their day of walking just to have a little bit of fun and you know, joy and just kind of a fun thing to add to your day, which sounds a little bit like Holy Mischief.
100%. I hope someone has a Ring doorbell and they're recording these, because that could be amazing to watch. You may have to send me the address. I would love to walk past and just like do it. I mean, we don't have enough whimsy and play in our lives. We stop doing recess in some schools, even in late elementary, but definitely by middle school. And we need recess. We need play. That's how we learn. And that's how we connect with one another. I mean, if we were still playing some of the games and the whimsy that we had, I think we would have a whole lot less divisiveness in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that word whimsy. I mean, even just the word itself sounds whimsical. So if you were to, you know, I'm hoping that folks at home, and I believe folks at home are listening to this and thinking, gosh, what are ways that I can do this? Do you have any, you know, just some ideas to kind of get folks thinking to engage in Holy Mischief this week?
Yeah, I'm going to give a couple. Yeah. And the first one is really easy, but we forget about it. Smiling. When you smile at someone, it gives them permission to smile back. And we all know that smiling is good for you. It does things within our body that helps us to kind of light up our brain a little bit. And if you're like me, sometimes you're like remembering your grocery list, or you're like so focused whenever you're out and about that, you know, your face doesn't reflect the joy that may be inside of your body. And so just looking at someone and smiling, I'll put a caveat out there, like, don't make it too long, because then it can be creepy. And try to have, if you don't like your smile, practice your smile. Your smile is most likely a lot more beautiful than you think. But I have met people, my husband is one of those, and he's like, I don't like to smile. I don't like how I look when I smile. But I've got some actual photos of him smiling, and he looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one that's easy. It's free. You can do it as many times as you like. And it's a great way to connect with people without having to do something that's a little more scary. I'll give a couple more examples, though, too, because I do think pushing yourself with the practice of kindness and Holy Mischief is good for you as well. I do love sticky notes. So if you think that this is wasteful, then maybe it's not for you. But I do think sticky noting someone's door, or maybe like just the car passenger side of the window, or just like a small area, just notes of affirmation. Mm-hmm. It is uncomfortable for me to be like, Jamie, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're wonderful. Like, it starts to feel weird. Mm-hmm. But you put it on a sticky note and you're like, you know, I can own that sticky note and I can own that one. We don't always think the positive self-talk that we need to within our own heads. Mm-hmm. And so giving people that language is an act of holy mischief. And I've said this one, I'll say it again. I love a handwritten note. My grandmother used to send me handwritten notes and give me little words of wisdom. And I wish I had kept every single one of them. I did not, unfortunately. But I can remember when I got my first job, she sent me, and this was a yogurtier at a yogurt store. I have to say that because yogurtier is just a fun title. I was a yogurtier at a yogurt store. But she sent me a handwritten note and she said, I have always admired people that work and then that do hard work in the world. And you will never regret doing hard work in the world, no matter what it is or where it is. Hmm. Something along those lines. But I've always thought about that. And anytime like I put in hard work, I'm like, you know, my grandmother taught me that. So just a little word of wisdom or encouragement to someone, even if it's a simple, hey, friend, I'm thinking of you. Hope you know that you're loved beyond measure. Love, Shannon. I mean, just something that simple, I think, can change someone's day.
Mm. I love all of those. I do think, you know, as we're, you know, going back to that second question, the weariness and tiredness, I think that this is something that can give folks just a little spark in their days, in their lives. The kindness that can, you know, work in this, in the, where folks are divisive culture. What do you hope, or think if this were to take off and more people were to practice holy mischief regularly, what kind of ripple effects would you hope for our communities and the wider world?
I think our communities could be tighter, could be more of a community mindset that, you know, we're here for each other and that there are people in the world that we can lean on. I think it really is a start of that. There's a lot of good research on positive psychology and how for the longest time we were looking for the negative things and trying to fix them. And if we started looking at the positive things and lifting those up and we had the right ratio of positivity to negativity, because you do need to look for the dangers in the world, but the right ratio personally is usually around 3 to 1, that, you know, for every negative thing, you need 3 things to sort of counterbalance so that you're in that right ratio. And for teams and families, it's higher. It's more of like a 6 to 1 because you are constantly trying to solve problems. So you'll need to look at the positive things in order to counterbalance. Our brains will remember an insult for a lot longer than we remember an affirmation because we evolved that way. Like, oh, that person insulted me, they might be dangerous, I need to be wary of them. When in reality, that person might have a lot of high praise for you and you need to be reminded of that a little bit more so that if you're giving criticism to someone, you also need to lift up the things that are good about them. That being to say, we've lost the sense of community and relationships. We have an epidemic of loneliness, mm-hmm. and I believe that holy mischief is the antidote to that. It's the start of building stronger relationships and finding that strength in the positivity so that we can be better communities, better churches, better businesses, and better families.
I love that. I love that. And I love that, you know, at the very beginning, you talked about, you know, finding our neighbors and that our neighbors are to the ends of the earth at this point. We've, mm-hmm. you know, and that is what God has called us to do, is love our neighbors. Amen. So thank you so much for talking with me today. I am excited to go out and do some holy mischief and hopefully hear from some folks here at Fifth Avenue about some holy mischief that they are doing as well.
I would love for them to share the stories, either find the Facebook group, Holy Mischief, or if someone wants to contact me, and send me an email through my website. Would be happy to hear those stories and lift those up.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Crossroads. Our managing editor is Jamie Staley, and our editors are Vashina Brisbane and Emily Dombrowski.